You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to an action that's coming up on Saturday, and it's a really good Saturday to look forward to as well. We've got a 9-race card at Ascot, including a number of races which have been rearranged from Newbury last week after their meeting had to be abandoned, and Haydock for the William Hill Grand National Trial, and great supporting races there. Also, a Wincanton to look forward to, Gorham Park over in Ireland, and much, much more. It's live on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon, so make sure you join the team in the studio for all the latest on the day's racing action. A little bit later on the podcast, we'll hear from Damien Ainsworth, a William Hill trader, to get his thoughts on some of the big races that are taking place on Saturday. But first up, my name's John Gibby, joined by Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy, how are you?
All good, John, yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. We'll get a couple of tips from Paddy for the day's action in a couple of moments' time. But before we look ahead to Saturday, let's look back at what's happened on Friday. We had the Kingmaker Chase, Paddy. That was rearranged for Sandown from Warwick, obviously due to the equine flu outbreak. And a bit of a surprise as Glenn Forcer has come through to upset Kalashnikov. Lots of talk now about potential Cheltenham targets for both of these two horses. But a surprise to see Kalashnikov turned over, or was it?
Probably not. I mean, obviously he was taking such a massive chunk out of the market, but you know, that's his second defeat back to back. Although he was beat by a good one at Kempton last time in Dynamite Dollars. You know, today the one thing we highlighted beforehand was he'd never won going right-handed. All his victories had been left-handed, albeit he'd been placed round Sandown. But he'd yet to win going right-handed. But the top and bottom of it is, I think, the price of the winner today was, you know, the market reflected the fact that he was trained by Mick Shannon. So not really sort of, you would say, noted as, you know, as a sort of big National Hunt trainer. But nonetheless, these are the Radford horses that were always associated with Henrietta Knight down the years, who still got a large involvement with these. So they're still very high-class horses, you know, and I think she's got a fair involvement in training them also, so, or, you know, in input and whatnot. So it's a very high-class horse. You know, he's a bumper winner, hurdle winner. They didn't mess around with him over hurdles, and they went chasing very quickly. And the one thing that I was taking with him, I mean, I selected him to beat the favourite Kalashnikov today, was the fact that, you know, they started him off over fences at a track like Chepstow, which takes a lot of jumping, and then he went to, I think it was either Newbury or Kempton last time, where, same thing again, his jumping was absolutely faultless. Which, again, today, you know, them railway fences, it's a big test, and he's come through with flying colours without being exuberant, but he was economical, you know, good from A to B, whereas Kalashnikov wasn't. You know, he's a big lad, he got the water jump all wrong, and then he really got underneath the next, and by the time they got to the pond fence, you know, the race was over. He was a beaten horse, and from the back of the last, he was very tired and laboured looking up the hill, whereas, you know, the other horse was very strong to the line. So, I mean, now I think he's round about 10s, is he, for Cheltenham? So, I mean, his price has really shortened, but nonetheless, his horse is on the improve. I think maybe Cheltenham might come a year too early for him as regards winning this year, but his turn will come, because he still maybe lacks a bit of mileage on the clock, but he's still a very high class horse.
And what about Kalashnikov? People talk about the JLT maybe rather than the Arkle for the Cheltenham Festival. A couple of people I saw on Twitter rather fancifully suggesting they should send him back over hurdles. What would you do with him for the festival?
Yeah, I think his Cheltenham run has always been cribbed, hasn't it? Has maybe not been very strong form, even though, you know, he did finish a good second there. The form has always been cribbed behind Somerville Boy, but nonetheless, he's never looked a natural over fences, really. He's looked a little bit sort of hit and miss, just not a complete natural, you know. I thought he jumped okay today, but still, he didn't look like a horse who now has had sort of, he was having his fourth run over fences. He didn't look like he had sort of improved with each run as regards technique-wise. So I'd imagine his finishing effort Connections will be disappointed with today. Although he's not been beat by any batting number, as I've said, Connections, I'm sure, will be disappointed. And they've maybe just got to take stock now and go home and just have another little think and see which sort of avenue they're going to go down.
OK, well, that was the Kingmaker Chase at Sandown on Friday, the rearranged Kingmaker that was won by Glenn Forser for Mick Shannon. Be interesting to see what happens in the 2-mile novice chase division going forward for the rest of the season. Now we'll look ahead to Saturday. What a great day it's going to be, Paddy. It's always unfortunate when we lose meetings, but then when races get rearranged further down the line and we have these days with all this fantastic graded action, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, it's sort of a little bit of catch-up, isn't it? I mean, once racing did resume this week, we've had very, very small fields, to be honest, but a little bit better today, and as I say, much better again tomorrow. So, but, you know, they've saved as much as they could. We've still got some high-class action and some good stuff to look forward to.
And you've got two selections for us, and the first one of those, that comes in a graded race at Goran Park.
Yeah, I've gone with the Gordon Elliott horse here, Cor Sublime. I think this is potentially a very high-class animal. I mean, although he does lack the experience of some of his rivals tomorrow, I think he is sort of going to go off roundabout sort of favourite. We've not seen him since Boxing Day, when he was just being delivered with a challenge at Leopardstown in a pretty decent race, where, and he departed at the last. He did suffer a heavy fall that day. That's maybe why we haven't seen him since, but nonetheless, he was in the process of running a very, very good race. And I mean, he's got a fair level of ability, this horse. He wasn't cheap, but I mean, he's only ran once on the flat, and that was a success at Navan when he was relatively unfancied last April, winning at 16-1. And then he's won it down Royal, of good second at Fairy House next time, and then, as I said, was in the process of running a very good race, in a better race, at Leopardstown on Boxing Day, when he crashed out at the last one there with every chance. Connections, like I say, they are lacking a bit of experience, but because he gets the 4-year-old weight allowance, I think he's so nicely in here tomorrow. And if he stays around about the sort of 5-2, 3-1, I think he represents a bit of value tomorrow to give away a bit of experience, but I think he's probably the best horse in the race.
Okay, Cor Sublime for Gordon Elliott in the 150 at Goran. Then in your other selection, that runs in the UK.
Yeah, it's completely the other opposite end of the scale. It's, you know, a 1.5 handicap on the all weather, and it is a pretty low grade event. It's a 0-60 1.5 race at Linkfield, and I have gone for the handicap debutant here for Willie Muir in Hammy End. I just thought maybe this gelding, his dam did stay very nicely. She was a winner over just shy of 1.5 herself. I think Willie Muir is a good operator. Hammy End certainly won't be the best horse he's ever trained, but there was just much more encouragement in his most recent run, where he's finished 5th. I mean, even being a lot at a mark of 55, I don't think he's particularly that well handicapped. And, you know, Willie Muir thought he'd be looking around about high 40s or maybe even 50 at a stretch. So doesn't look absolutely thrown in off 55. But the thing is here, he's in the right race. Draw could have been a little bit kinder. He's in stall 11. But he's got the hood on again. He's got the excellent Nicola Curry on board. And I do think, look, he's in a very, very winnable race. And if he improves a bit more on what we've seen him last time, I think he would be pretty competitive in what is a fairly soft event tomorrow.
Thanks to Paddy Aspel for his couple of selections for Saturday's action. And we've got some big grade ones and competitive handicaps to look forward to. And now to take a look at those races from a trading perspective, we're joined by William Hill trader Damien Ainsworth. Here's what he had to say. Damien, what a Saturday we have got in prospect.
Yeah, I was going to say it's back to normality, but it's not quite. It's a bit more than normal, if you like. We missed last week, so they've added a few races on this weekend. 9 on TV, so there's a whole host of interesting horses running tomorrow. Especially at Ascot.
There's a lot of races which we could discuss on TV, some that even aren't on TV, taking place on Saturday, but we've gone for 5 that are particularly high profile, particularly interesting. Why don't we start with the day's big betting race, which is the Betfair Hurdle. Now, this has been rearranged, of course, for Ascot. What sort of differences do you think we might see now it's being held at Ascot? For one thing, when I looked this morning, it looked to have a smaller field than we might usually expect for the race.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it last weekend. I think there were 20, 21 horses in there. There's only 14 this time. I suppose some trainers have probably been thrown off kilter with the extra week they had the horses prepped, particularly for 7 days ago. The look of the race, it's quite similar. You've got the two at the front of the market, the same as last week, very short prices in Al Dancer and Getaway Trump. So an extra 7 days, it might have taken a little bit of an edge off. Who knows? Apart from those two, again, there's similar dangers to last week. I think Lisp is very interesting. One significant factor in Lisp's favour is that it's at Ascot, where he ran tremendously well in the Ladbroke just before Christmas. Similar race, a few more runners that day. So that's one slight difference, and it's in his favour. Of the bigger prices, it was a similar story to last week. You got some promising novices in there. You got Zanza, I think Philip Hobbs, that's been laid today, 16s into 12s. The thing about this race, the thing about it particularly last week, what a lot of people mentioned was it appeals to lightly race novices on the up. They've got a massive advantage over the experienced handicappers, the profile of the race and the horses. They've been well picked out, the front two here, but Zanza is one who's got a similar profile to the front two but hasn't been as identified so by the punters. So that's an interesting one. I think you can still get a double-figure price, not as big as he was earlier in the week, but for me, that would be the one at the price.
But it's generally, in terms of what people are coming for, about those towards the head of the padding and Al Dancer and Getaway Trump in particular?
They're being well-laid anti-posts, have been shocking results tomorrow if they win. Twist and Davis has been talking up Al Dancer. I think they've both been talked up as potential Cheltenham novices. So if so, they'll be well handicapped, but we've just got to try and find something at a bigger price to beat them, I think.
Okay, well, let's talk now about the Ascot Chase, which is actually the following race on the card on Saturday. Waiting patiently, be interesting to see that one return, obviously unseated in the King George last time out, having won this race last year. Faces a couple of decent rivals, a Politolog in particular, who, when racing away from Cheltenham in particular, has a very good record.
Yeah, six horses, all high-class horses. Waiting patiently, I think his reputation lies to a large extent on his performance in this race last year. As punters, it's probably been well said, but we have been waiting patiently for him to run.
Haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, sorry. Ruth Jefferson, she's obviously in love with the horse, but it'd be nice to see him on the racetrack. She just seems to come up with plenty of reasons for him not to run. One of which has been he doesn't like good ground. So until I see him on the track tomorrow, I'm not convinced he's going to run, because there's been no rain for a long time. It's just getting faster and faster. So I half expect tomorrow morning, waiting patiently, is he going to run, is he not going to run? He might drift in the market. We've got some good horses against him, as I said. I think Politolog is 2 from 2 over course and distance. He's genuine top notcher, didn't quite get home in the King George. Whether waiting patiently runs or not, I think Politolog will give him a very good race. Surname was the one that was backed anti-post, 7s into 7 to 2. The thing about him is his form. He was a wide margin winner of a handicap here last time. I think that form's suspect. Because if you remember, a horse called Valtor won in very similar fashion in a similar race at Ascot, and he got found out the time after. So I'm not sure I can rely on that form. Fox Norton's a top-class horse coming back. He'll be thereabouts. Asso's been backed for the Ryanair, so he's entitled to have a chance. But for me, Politolog is the one.
Okay, Politolog for Damien then in the Ascot Chase, the 3:55. Let's now just switch briefly from Ascot to Haydock. We've got the card that's headlined by the William Hill Grand National Trial taking place on Saturday. This is always an enjoyable meeting, Damien, and I'm looking forward to not just the big race itself, but a number of other graded contests on the card as well. But it's usually a good betting heat, the Grand National Trial. How does it look from a trading perspective this year?
Yeah, it's a few races this week we had to take down earlier in the week because of questions of which horses had been vaccinated and which horses could run. So we only put the race back out a couple of days ago at the 48-hour stage. So there hasn't been a great deal of time. We were still time to lay a few. Pobbles Bay and Ballyoptic, big prices we were laying. Today we've been laying old favourites like Violion Rouge and again a bit more for Pobbles Bay. So the punters have liked the look of a few bigger prices. I like one which we've seen a few nibbles for, the Two Amigos. I like the yard, the trip, improving horse. I think he's got a great chance. Robin's Firth, similar profile, consistent, improving animal. I think he'll go well. And wherever you look, there's horses with chances. I think we can probably 13 to 2, 7's the field. And whatever you like, you're going to get a decent price about.
Okay, and another one of the big races on the William Hill Grand National trial card is, of course, the Rendlesham Hurdle. This is often used as a trial for the Stayers Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. This year it's all about Yanworth making his seasonal reappearance. Hasn't been seen since the Stayers at the Cheltenham Festival last year. A horse who no longer really runs to the heights that we saw him in his novice hurdle campaign a few seasons ago, Damien. Do you think he's going to make a winning return in the Rendlesham?
Absolutely. As I was saying, the Grand National Trial is a very open race. This one I can't see past Yanworth. For some reason, people haven't latched onto the horse yet, but I think he's a genuine top-class hurdler. He's got a tremendous record fresh. He's 4 from 4 coming back after 6 month absences. He'll like the ground, the yard's in good form. The opponents, if you go from the top, Donner's Diamond, Man of Plenty, Klein, they're all soft, heavy ground horses. I think he's got loads in hand. You can oppose everything else in the race. I can't see him getting beat.
Are the punters trying to take him on at this stage?
As I said, the punters don't like him. I don't know why, so we haven't seen much for him. So it might be a horse. It could go either way. People could just see he's got a massive class edge and back him, or people could say, well, I don't like Yanworth. I'm going to try and find something to beat him. So this day I'm not sure which way it'll go.
Okay, and just before we go, let's go back to Ascot for another one of their races, the 2:45 for Denman Chase, another one rearranged from the Newbury Cards, and this is a Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. We're not going to see Native River as we were originally going to last week, but we do get to see the King George winner, Clander's Obo.
Indeed, I think this race is a virtual match between Clander's Obo and Terrafort. I'm inclined to take on Clander's Obo. Terrafort, he was a better novice chaser last season than Clander's Obo was 2 seasons ago. Clander's Obo came on tremendously in the King George, but the form doesn't always work out. Different tracks, different conditions. Terrafort, I think I put him up last time he ran, and couple out, looked like he was going to go away and win quite nicely. Just tied up towards the end, but I think he's on his way back, getting £3. I think there could be a turn up tomorrow, and it could be Clander's Obo. The other two, you can't see getting involved.
Okay, well, those are some of the top races on Saturday, Ascot and Haydock. It's all taking place on Racing Radio. You can hear it all on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon, so join us then. And Damien, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Speak to you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.